Welcome to Talk the Talk, calling all activists and allies alike. It's time to come together and demand the changes we need in this unjust world. I'm Jordan, a Black male activist.
And I'm Caitlin, a white female ally, and together we created Talk the Talk, a platform for speaking candidly and constructively on race.
We'll provide starting points for uncomfortable but meaningful conversations and introduce new knowledge and perspectives.
We'll arm you with the tools necessary to combat racism anywhere and anytime you experience it.
Right now is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to create lasting change to the racial and social injustices in America. We challenge you to do your part and to talk the talk. And for those who listen often, those who are listening for the first time, we do curse. And no, we do not know everything. We're constantly learning and unlearning with you. And now that that's out the way, what it do, Kay Floyd?
Hello, another day, another doll hair.
We made it. We're back on another Monday. For those
just another manic Monday.
Another manic Monday.
Didn't think I was gonna make it here, but I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. And we're also glad to have the next guest in our Black History in the Making series. We had a great conversation with Talitha last week, and this week we're welcoming none other than the infamous, the famous, the illustrious Lauren Adderley. Lauren is a marketing associate of athlete activation with a major athletic company, major athletic wear company. They make sneakers, they make gear, and she gets to work with some really high profile athletes, which is awesome. I want to stop introducing her in a second, but I'm so excited to welcome her. She's a great friend of Lauren and of Caitlin and I's, and she is going to give us a great, great conversation. Leave us with some great career tips and just give us a little bit of her perspective and her experience. So with nothing else there, Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm very, very grateful to have you.
Love seeing your face. Absolutely love it.
So we kind of start off every guest appearance with a similar question. So now that you're here on Talk the Talk, and we appreciate you joining us so much. To get things started, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and how you do your part to talk the talk?
Yeah, so I am Lauren from Durham, North Carolina. Met you two wonderful people at the Sixers. I have an extensive background in team sports and ended up making my way to a major athletic brand out in Boston. And now I'm just trying to do my part to let people of all genders and races know that all of your dreams are attainable.
Ooh, I like that.
Love that.
Really, really like that. You actually just threw me off a little bit. What is your dream? Like, what is your dream? What was younger Lauren? What was your career aspiration? What was your big idea goal?
So when I was younger, I actually thought I was going to be a veterinarian. I'm pretty sure, Caitlin, you know that I love animals. And when I got to college, I started down the pre-kinesiology track and realized that I needed blood. Yeah. Well, I can't do this or body fluids. And so ended up actually getting an internship with the Charlotte Bobcats. And that's when I realized, you know what, sports might be for me. So even though I grew up always thinking I was going to be a vet, changed my mind. And now I am with team sports, athletes, and I love marketing. And goal in life is to be a chief marketing officer for a big major brand.
I think you're well on your way. Love that.
Oh my God, will you hire me?
Yes.
We have a nice little squad between the three of us.
Yeah, I love that. That'd be so
our
fun.
Our trio.
Like it. Set it up.
That's amazing. So you walked us through how you decided on your career. Tell us more about the arc of your career. When, your highs, your lows, when did you know you made it? Have you made it yet?
Yeah, so I can definitely talk about the arcs all day. I feel like that's what people always want to talk about, how they got to where they are and what they love. But with that, my biggest thing is you can never count out your lows. I went through hell and back to get where I am today and, you know, interned with the Charlotte Bobcats and got out of college and interned again with the Colts and you know, after my internship with the Colts ended, I was with Orange Theory Fitness as a marketing coordinator and wasn't in team sports and went through a low journey where I was trying to figure out how to get to where I wanted to be. But eventually that's where I met you all, the Philadelphia 76ers. And later on, I got a job with another athletic company. So I just, those lows, being an intern and realizing you're not going to come out of college making six figures, you know, it slapped me in the face, but it's those moments where you realize that you can't stop fighting for what you want in life, whether that's your job, a car, a house, just your happiness in general.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And you talked about the importance of your lows. And I think just knowing you as a person and being your friend through some of those lows, I think that even in the moment, you do a pretty good job of acknowledging that the lows don't last forever. And when they're over, I think you, something I try to take from you is using those losses. Some people might see them as losses, you see them as a lesson. And I think that that is one of your really, really big strengths among many others, but that is a huge thing. Especially like you said, like you've had some lows, you've had some battles. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about if there's any experiences you've had personally or professionally, as a Black woman that you don't think you would have had, and especially working in a white male dominated industry?
Absolutely. There are so many times where you feel like you have to code switch or you have to be something that you're not in order to impress the people in the room and the people at the table. And there's so much on your shoulders. You feel like if I come into this too hot, too angry, then I'm just an angry Black woman. But if I come in this and I'm not speaking up enough, then I'm way too passive and I'm going to be looked over. So you're dealing as a Black woman, not only with sexism, but racism added on top of that. And that's one thing that a lot of people don't experience, especially in these white male dominated industries. And it's a lot, it's a huge burden, especially no matter where you go in sports, it's always like that. And it's a lot that you have to carry, but I just remind myself that I have a purpose. I have a reason for being where I am, for doing what I'm doing, and that I need to continue that purpose because it could be making a path for somebody else who's a woman or who's a Black woman or who's a Black man, gender or race, it doesn't matter. And so that's one thing that I've had to remind myself. I was not as confident as where I am today, but with time, I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm here for a reason and I'm going to break barriers.
I love that.
Yeah, that's huge.
I can appreciate like the confidence factor. I was like, in so much that like I can, having been in some of the boardrooms that you've been in, I can appreciate that like it takes a lot of confidence to speak up and to share your idea. And I think that we talk about this a lot with our listeners and the other guests that we've interviewed, how important it is to like know thyself. And to foster that wave of confidence. And the best advice that I've ever been given, which I don't even know if it's that great, is like fake it till you make it. When it's like, I ask other confident people, like, how did you, you know, how are you like this or whatever? And that's literally what they always say. I'm like, that's not like helpful. Do you have any advice on how you became the confident person that like we know and love?
Definitely. So starting out, I was not the confident person you all know and love. I was an intern. So not only was I a Black woman, but I was the bottom of the chart. I was the person who's running to get coffee and who's handing out swag bags on a college campus. I was not the person at the table. And so it was hard at first. You don't have the confidence. You don't have the courage to speak up. And sometimes you don't have the people in your corner telling you to do so. And I was lucky enough when I started moving up in my career, I had mentors and people that I confided in who reminded me that my voice is powerful. And again, I'm in these positions for a reason. And so I started speaking up more and realizing that by me speaking up, I'm doing a favor. And by me not speaking up, I'm doing in just like, I'm not serving my part. So it's more powerful to use your voice, even though it may make people uncomfortable. It may make them angry. It may make them upset, but I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And my mind is different than everybody else's. Everybody has a different mind, and what goes through it is valuable.
That sounds heavy. Like, I appreciate it, and I can relate to that experience of feeling like everything you do has to be done right so that it can benefit someone coming behind you. And I know that I've had to deal with that in my own mental health, and like not letting that pressure get to you all the time, or like even just giving yourself the space and the grace to fail forward for yourself and not have to think that you're doing it for someone else, or like with the pressure of other people that will follow in your footsteps. And I know like these high pressure situations, like these big name companies and working with high profile athletes, like it can take a toll on you. So how do you, Lauren Adderley, protect your own mental health? Like, what is your mental health regime?
Well, I can definitely speak on that. And I think last year was a year I realized that I really needed to, I won't say perfect it. There's no way you can perfect anything in life. But last year, 2020, just being crazy, we saw Australian wildfires, Kobe Bryant passing away. We saw coronavirus being introduced, and things just kept happening. We saw people passing away.
Every month was
social injustice. It was a crazy year, and it was stressful, and it's hard to maintain a level-headedness when your world is being rocked constantly. You're looking at the news, you're looking at social media, and it's just one bad story after another, after another, after another. So the first thing I did was disconnect. I had to limit the time that I was looking at the news and these conversations where it's just continuous negativity. And then the second thing is, it's a big taboo in Black culture, but talking about therapy, it's becoming more widely recognized. And that's one thing that I definitely did. And I started talking to someone. It doesn't mean that anything's wrong, but I wanted to make sure that I protected my mental health so that nothing can become wrong in the future.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And like you said, it's all about finding someone to help you, finding someone to help you know what to do. It's like someone who goes to the gym for the first time, doesn't know what they're doing. You ask a trainer to help you perfect your mental, your physical health. You go to a financial advisor to get your finances right. It's the same exact thing. So I love that you're sharing your experience, and one, that you're even having the experience for yourself, because like you said, within the Black community, it's not always that easy to feel like you can go there. You have to be a strong Black person. You have to be a strong Black woman. You're independent, or, you know, that's just not what Black people do. You know, like that's something I've heard so many times, and it kept me from going to therapy sooner. And I hope that people listening will hear, you know, your experience, my experience, and just be more comfortable going and seeking that, not perfection, like you said, but like the progress of mental health.
Exactly. And one thing I had to realize was with that, nothing's perfect, and it didn't work out the first time or the second time. Third time, we got it right. It's like a relationship. You're not just going to settle down with the first person you meet. Sometimes that's not realistic, and I stuck with it, and it's something that I'm really happy that I did. It was life-changing, obviously, but even through that, I discovered other tricks that helped me just wind down aside from the disconnecting, whether that be reading a book. I've read 13 books last year. I'm trying to continue that this year, if not more, but having a circle of friends where you all can just talk about things that aren't negative, just talk about one good thing that happened in your life that day. So just really learning how to connect and realize that there are other things that you can do to free your mind besides engulfing yourself in social media and the things that we see happening around us.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah, I think this also comes back to like my earlier question, about like your confidence, like that self-awareness feeds into that, right? When you walk into a space, you feel more confident because you know yourself. And if there is something that is makes you uncomfortable or something that you're noticing that's off, you can self-regulate because you know what that thing is, that it has a name. You've practiced, you go to therapy, you talk about it. Or at least that's how it is for me, where it's like, I can tell that I'm getting stressed. Well, what does that stress look like? And how do I relieve that stress? I think that's really, really, really important in all walks of life, but in particular, like when it comes to our work. Like, I think that we all are fortunate that we came from great families who taught us to not just have a job, but to have a career. And I think that puts a lot of, in a good way, and we're also all overachieving people, but that puts a lot of pressure on us, like you said, Jordan, to like be the best. And then there are things about each of us that adds an extra level of pressure so that we can send the elevator back down for people. That can kind of be a lot, but I guess thinking back and bringing it back to your work, Lauren, and things to be like proud of and to have confidence about when you walk into a room, what is one, like if you can describe it as like casually or in depth as you like a project or experience personally and professionally that you're most proud of?
Ooh, that is a really good question. A project or an experience, I would definitely have to say my current role now, I'm able to be involved in multiple campaigns with some really high profile athletes. So pretty much all of those, I came from, you know, companies where you're interns and coordinators and you really don't get that opportunity to really, you know, take over and own something. But as I've gotten further in my career, the company I'm at now, we've been able to work on multiple campaigns and I've been able to lead those projects. And I'm like, this is pretty awesome. I did good on this. You know, I did a Black History Month campaign this year that I was extremely proud of. And I'm like, it encourages me to continue.
That's and awesome. That campaign was awesome. It is awesome. And it continues to live. And you made us privy to it ahead of time. So I had high expectations and you and your squad blew them way out of the water. So very, very proud of you. And you should be proud of yourself as you are. So I love that. And we talked a little bit about your job. And it requires you to have relationships with professional athletes that people normally don't have. Most of us get to see these athletes if we go to a sporting event or when they're playing their sport or we catch them on SportsCenter. You talk to them like we're talking right now. You've mentioned their names to me and I was like, oh, like I don't know anybody that by that name except for the person who's in the NBA. And they're like, oh yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Like we're setting up a meeting. How do you balance the fact that like these are like the most high profile athletes, celebrity status and everything? How do you keep your emotions in check when you're working with someone of that stature?
I think just handling it like they're a normal person. I feel like when we're in these roles, and I feel like even you and Caitlin can agree, being at the Sixers, we're around athletes all the time, 24/7, but treating them like they're normal people, because if you take off the uniform, take off the jersey, take off the spikes or whatever they may be wearing, they're going to be the same as you and I. They're just a regular person. So just treating them like one and not fangirling, that is the way I like to approach it, and just being down to earth and talking to them like how anyone else would that knows them.
I love that. That's I mean, spot on. You just, it's with anyone, like whether it's a celebrity or not, a janitor, a CEO, like if you treat everyone with respect, then that bodes very well for you and your reputation and people wanting to continue to work with you in different facets of your life. I want to ask you another question and then Caitlin, I'll let you go. But I kind of know part of the answer to this, but I want to hear you talk about it. Have you ever had any experiences where, you know, people see you, a young, attractive woman in sports, and makes an assumption about how you got there or what you do now that you're here? Have you ever had anyone mention this to you, treat you a certain way because of assumptions they made about you?
Oh, absolutely. It was The one that sticks out to me was when I was back in Indianapolis and I was on my way to work. And I just remember we were pulling up and my Uber driver basically just said, "Oh, do you work here?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do. That's I told him my job and what I did." And immediately they first assumed that I was a cheerleader. And I was like, "No, I'm not." But the second one, they assumed that, "Oh, you must love the players and they must love you." And I'm, you know, it was very offensive. I'm had to explain to them, would you say to a man, if you were having this job or getting out the car here, that, "Oh, cheerleaders must love you. Oh my gosh." And I just had to do a quick check and let him know that I'm here because I'm qualified and I'm not here to be looking at like players, because you wouldn't say that to a man. You would not. That's not what I'm here for. I'm qualified and I was a top candidate and that's why I'm here.
Exactly. Exactly. And I love that you took the time and like put in the energy to educate that person so that they don't do that same dumb shit in the future.
As much as they probably hated me after that awkward car ride.
Definitely worth it. Definitely worth it.
Oh, absolutely. That's like what we talk about. Like that's the part where you have to do your work like as an advocate, even if it's for yourself or for the people in your community. Like that's where you have to say something, and like if you've got their attention, hold their attention. Sorry, we're in this car now.
You didn't let me out.
Buckle up because you're about to get it.
This was pre-COVID, so he saw my facial expressions.
Right.
It's very expressive eyes of yours. Yep.
I guess like on with that too, thinking about like being able to hold space for yourself and do it in the right way. Obviously context is everything, right? Have you been able to put yourself in situations where your work environment allows you to hold space and to have those tough conversations? If yes, great, delve more into it. And if it's not, what do you want to look for in your next like place of work or like team that you're on that you can have that space?
Absolutely. I think this circles back to getting the confidence to sit at the table and speak up and have that voice. By doing that, it allowed me to have the space where I'm comfortable speaking up and being that person in the room, calling, you know, past and just present, calling things out for how they are. And that's one thing that I have been lucky to be able to do in my career.
Yeah, I love that answer. Yeah, because most people don't have that. Like a lot of people don't create that space for themselves. And I don't think that enough places of work create those places and those spaces for people. It's more about profits than people a lot of times. And I mean, if you really do focus on your people, it will inherently improve your profits by lowering your turnover. Like people are just performing more, people are more engaged. So it's great that you have that in your current situation. You've helped to create that for others as well.
And I will say like one thing that I did figure out, and I always did at every job I've had, was I always got a mentor or somebody who was older, more established than I was, to help me get in the room and help me make these conversations. Sometimes you can't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. As much as you think you can, when you get to these companies, you need at least two people that you can confide in so they can help you navigate the work life or that culture. And if you're struggling, they can be that person to get you in the room to say, you know what, I'm going to create a space for this person. So that's another thing that really helped me. I had about two people at each job I've been at where they are an advocate for me. They speak up for me. They are the ride or die in the office for me. And I know that they can help me navigate this culture and get me at the table.
I gotta have you dive a little deeper into how you make those connections. So it's really easy. Like the three of us, you know, similar ages, similar experience in the sports world, and you know, we had similar interests outside of work. So it was very easy for us, you know, being on the same level in the organization, to build our friendships and build our relationship. Can you talk a little bit about how you've been able to like get a mentor, let alone two at each company you've been at? I know that a lot of people struggle with that. Finding that one person or those two people that will go to bat for you behind the doors that you're not inside those rooms. So can you talk a little bit about how you identify those people and how you, like, do you verbally and formally make that ask to be their mentor, or how's that work?
Well, definitely, you all know I like to talk, so I will meet someone quickly. But the thing that I always do whenever I start a new job is I always try to have as many sit down, meet and greet one-on-ones with people, as many as I can. One, learn the organization, the structure, but two, to see who these people are. How long have you been here? Have you been here 2 years, 4 years, 5, 10, 15, 20? I like to create these conversations so I can really get to know the environment. And from there, keeping in touch, don't just have a one-on-one and fall off the face of the earth, never to be seen again. So continuing to have these conversations, follow up with the person. And from there, you really start to make genuine connections. You don't have to go into these one-on-ones just like, so tell me about yourself. Where did you go to school? What's on your resume? Like, what, you just be yourself and go in here, of course, talk about your professional goals, but also talk about your personal ones and talk about life. You'd be surprised how much you have in common with the people around you. You may not look like them, you may not have the same beliefs, but there's always at least two similarities. And when you start making these genuine connections and friendships, honestly, you can find people who will always be in your corner, whether you're at that company with them or you're somewhere else later down the line in your life.
That's a gem. That's perfect, because so many people do struggle with that. So I love your approach to it. It's great. It's not transactional. It's very genuine, and that makes a huge difference.
Like, you all know I like to talk, so it's not a problem. So
do you have any mentees? Are you a mentor to anybody?
I would like to say one person at my current job where they asked me for advice and I was like, me? Am I getting to that point in my life? Me? You're asking me how to navigate this? But yes, I am finally getting to that point in my career where I have people coming to me and emailing me, hey, can we sit down? Can we talk? They're doing exactly what I used to do. I would find people on LinkedIn and send them, hey, I'd love to chat and catch up. And it's working, because when you do that, you're taking initiative, and I'm going to remember that.
Right.
A great feeling too, being able to, you know, when you get to that point, seeing people like approaching you, asking for your advice and your feedback on a situation. It feels great. And two, it makes you a stronger leader, a stronger person, because you might know inherently how to explain something in your own head, but processing it and being able to give that insightful answer and feedback to someone else just makes you stronger communicator, stronger thinker, stronger leader, everything. It makes you just a stronger person. So I'm happy that you're having that experience. That's great. So moving forward, how do you handle relationships with your coworkers, and how do those compare to professional athletes? Like, I know that you're doing both at the same time. So you're in this ecosystem where you have your coworkers and you're going back and forth with them. You're going back and forth with the athletes to get these big, massive projects done. There's so many moving pieces. How do you handle those relationships of, hey, like, you're my coworker, we have to get this done because it's our job. And that coupled up with, hey, you're a professional athlete, you've got all this other stuff going on over here, and this is like a blip for you because you have to go out and dribble a basketball, hit a tennis ball, kick a soccer ball. Like, you have to go do all these other things, but I also need your attention for this amount of time. How do you balance those two different types of relationships?
I think the one thing that until this day I struggle with, and I highly recommend that people continue to work on, is organization. Mm-hmm. I was swamped and struggling And I had to take a step back and breathe and realize, what am I doing? I felt like I was underwater and I could not get up to the surface. I was drowning. And so I talked to friends, mentors, coworkers, just to see how other people stayed organized. And is that blocking time off on your calendar to work on specific things? Is that getting a planner? Is that getting a notebook? Is that writing sticky notes to tell you what you have to do? But the one thing is to get organized. And that's one, I had to do this in work and I had to do this in life, because if your life is not organized, your work's eventually going to be affected by it. So that is the main thing, is one, getting organized, and two, just accountability. Be accountable for yourself and even the other people that you're working with. And again, that goes for work, that goes for life, but no matter if it's you're trying to get approval from an athlete or if you're trying to get your coworker to turn in an assignment, be accountable, show initiative, and just follow up. Even if you have to follow up and check yourself, make a reminder, you got to be organized and you got to be accountable so you can get your goals accomplished.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And like you said, like, as soon as that organization or that accountability goes out the window, you're done. And if you're aware enough to know that you struggle with accountability, find yourself an accountability, someone to partner up with. Like, I hold you accountable, you hold me accountable. Let's both make sure, let's have daily, weekly, monthly, whatever it is, check-ins, just to make sure we're progressing towards what we're working for. And like, we're not just aimlessly checking things off a task list or a to-do list and not doing it with a purpose. That makes a huge difference. Let's take a quick break, pay some bills. We'll hop back in and we'll finish up with our closing questions. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Welcome back. We're still here with Lauren Adderley, and we've got a couple more questions to ask you. We know how you are with organizing and being accountable and protecting your time. So we're not going to waste any more of it. We'll go ahead and close this up soon. All right.
Sounds good.
All right, Lauren. So what is something that you're looking forward to?
I am looking forward to the remainder of 2021. I know last year was crazy. So I'm extremely optimistic that we can only go uphill and that this year will be better. So happiness, joy, health, life, all that 2020 can bring for us.
I love that.
That's what we all need. That's a big call out. That's what we all should be looking forward to. We all could use some more joy. Let's normalize joy again.
Yes.
Yes.
So we've gotten a peek behind the curtain into the face and the head of Lauren Adderley. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the books, artists, shows, movies, music, whatever type of art form that has shaped your view the most?
So I actually follow Well-Read Black Girl and For Color Girls Book Club, and they always have amazing recommendations on books by Black authors. I'm actually part of a book club with a couple ladies from my job, but right now I'm reading Transcendent Kingdom. I cannot remember the author. Don't judge me for this in the comments, people. I can't remember the author, but I am reading that book right now. And one thing that I love Netflix for, and I encourage everyone to go back and watch because it is Black History Month, is I'm always watching one of the throwback shows, Moesha. They brought Sister, back Sister.
So good.
I know
Parker's is on there now.
Which one?
The Parkers
yes,
is on.
Yes.
Wayne's Brothers is on. It's on Hulu. I have your Netflix. I'll give you my Hulu. We're in there.
Look at this. Look
Netflix,
at this.
I'm kidding. I don't have Lauren's password, I promise.
And, you know, Disney Plus just brought back the Brandy Whitney Houston Cinderella. So,
yep. Wait, are you for real?
Yep. I'm for real.
So good.
Yes. So I'm, for Black History Month, I encourage everybody to go watch a Black movie or a Black TV show, because that's what I'm watching, not only in February, but all year long.
I love that.
So good. I think our family has Disney Plus still. I'm going to need that because I love Brandy as Cinderella. Oh my God, it's so good.
So good.
The one true Cinderella.
It's so, I just love it. The songs are different, better. And it's so colorful. Like as a kid, I was like, oh, it's so pretty. Like, it's just so like aesthetically pleasing to watch.
And it was a diverse cast, which at that time period, you didn't really see. The prince was Asian, Brandy was Black, the queen was Black, the king was white. Right. It was, you know, they were ahead of their time there. So I was here for that.
That movie was also so good that even me as a preteen teenage boy would sit down and watch a princess movie and love every second of it. Great film. Great job.
Any film of Whitney Houston is a great film.
I'll watch it. Have to.
Oh my God, Oswald. Lauren's cat has just made it into the Zoom. He heard my Oswald voice. He remembers me.
Oswald's ready for us to wrap this up.
Yeah. He's ready to have his mom back. One last question for you, Lauren, for our listeners' sake. What is the one message that you would like for our listeners to take away after hanging out with us for a little less than an hour?
Just going back to, it does not matter what your gender is, what your ethnicity is. You can, again, accomplish anything you set your mind to if you just believe in yourself and you really put your mind and you put your energy and you put all that you've got into it, you can achieve it. Nobody's holding you back.
You hear that, listeners? You too can be like Lauren Adderley. I love that.
You can be like Lauren.
WWLD, what would Lauren do?
I'd wear that shirt. Get one of those bracelets.
That's great. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for your time, your input, your feedback, your wonderful face. It was great seeing both of you today. I needed it. It gave me life, gave me energy, and I hope that everyone listening enjoys. That's it for us. Wash your hands, wear a mask, fight racism and social injustice wherever you see it. That's it for this week on Talk the Talk. Peace.